So let's have a moment of truth here. We're among friends, so. How many people here were up late night celebrating the victory of the Knicks in their championship, at the NBA championship, right? Some of us are here. Yes, we can tell. And of course, looking at the numbers today, we know many of our, looks like many of our friends are still recovering from their celebrations. But anyway, for the past month, I have been enjoying conversations with a number of friends and other people in the congregation, as they talk with such enthusiasm about the gardening season that's well on its way. It's a cherished habit of many, isn't it, to garden. People are talking lovingly about planting the varieties of flowers or tomatoes and eggplants, spring beans, cucumbers and herbs. There's a lot of us, I imagine, who, as summer comes along, loves to drive out east and get fresh produce. Oh, love that. There's nothing like fresh fruit and veggies, is there? Like a tomato right off the vine? Oh, heavenly. How many gardeners are in our midst? Okay, so we have a handful. How many appreciate the gardening of others? In our passage from Matthew today, Chris, Jesus is deeply motivated and moved when he sees the multitude of souls all around him clamoring for help. This harvest is plentiful, Jesus declares. And if we consider how many billions more people alive there are than there were in Jesus' day, one can easily see the size of this plentiful harvest. Jesus' words to us are more urgent than ever. Now, a gardener who has lovingly and painstakingly seeded the garden and watered and weeded throughout the spring and summer months doesn't just entrust the harvest of her hard work to anyone. Yet isn't it surprising how Jesus turns to these newly minted disciples to announce that they are now going to be laborers? He turns to these core disciples who he has called by name one by one, these newbies who constantly misunderstand Jesus, who have no track record of successfully ministering to people, yet Jesus calls these ones forth. Jesus isn't recruiting seminarians or clergy, priests or rabbis. He's picking his laborers among those who he calls disciples. No experience required. What spurs Jesus onto this harvest? He looks upon this multitude of people, the crowds he has encountered in the towns and villages where he has taught in the synagogues and cured every disease and illness. And it says that Jesus has compassion on them, a word that is used at least 11 times in the Gospels, talking about how Jesus reacts in the face of human suffering. Compassion is a physical, gutsy reaction, translated directly as the bowels or the guts of the person responding, a reaction that emanates from the pit of our stomach when we see people in need. It's a key ingredient to love and kindness, which we have been exploring these past couple of weeks. Jesus stood with these crowds and looked upon the downtrodden, those afflicted by poverty, oppression, illness, and hunger, and the forces of evil. And his reaction? He has compassion. He talks about the condition of the people of the harvest. He uses a metaphor to which his disciples can relate, shepherding. He says that these crowds, because they lack proper spiritual leadership, demonstrate the same symptoms as sheep that have no shepherd. These people are agitated, they're afraid, they're anxious. Jesus sees how this harvest crowd also seems harassed. And this word here means actually to flay, you know, as if tearing off the skin of an animal. The Greeks use this word when they compare trouble to the pains of being flayed alive. Imagine for once what the depth of the harassment and pain must feel if your very skin, as if your very skin is being torn off of you. Part of the problem, Jesus tells them, is that these Pharisees, the leaders of the people, focus on external acts while neglecting justice and love of God. They are preoccupied with image and as the source of defilement, and legalism is about control, while the true heart of the law is love. It's the cornerstone of our relationship with God and one another. So what Jesus is telling us is the primary tools of harvesting is not legalism or laws interpreted for self-gain, but the love and the kindness and mercy and compassion that comes through this Holy Spirit. The harvest is not about making people churchgoers. The harvest, instead, is about bringing the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ to those who have been flayed by life's circumstances and harassed by the powers that be. Jesus further notes one other characteristic of the crowd, that they are helpless. Helpless, a word that refers to the weariness and fatigue that results from labor and being burdened with no opportunity for rest. He sees people burdened with rites of religion and doctrines that enforce people to keep the 613 laws of the Torah we talked about last week. No wonder Jesus was moved with compassion for this crowd, that were experiencing being lost, being flayed, being helpless. So harvest time, it's a time of great consequence. There's a sense of urgency when it comes to bringing in the crop. It is possible to wait too long and to lose the fruit of your labor. Think of all the dairy farms, the crop farms, the animal farms, the lost produce, the poured out gallons of milk, the euthanized animals when there's disruption in the distribution chain. It is said that 1.3 billion tons of what is produced in the world, a third of what is produced goes wasted by mismanagement. Can you believe that? How upsetting this is with so many people going hungry. So Jesus looks at this abundant crop of precious souls today facing the same fate of being lost, suffering, of dying because of their illness, all these valuable lives being wasted and unloved, left alone. No wonder Jesus is grieved and anxious to send help. So what our passage today is telling us is that compassion is the cornerstone of Jesus's ministry and one of Jesus's response to address the suffering and need he encounters is to summon these newbie disciples and send them forth with the command to heal, to confront evil, to preach about the goodness and righteousness of the kingdom of God. So we don't have to be eloquent speakers. We don't have to be highly trained leaders. We don't have to have the Bible memorized. We just have to be compassionate. And compassion is the common thread in all acts of ministry. And compassion is what teaches us and shows us how to listen, how to be aware, how to care, how to move those stirrings in our guts forward to make a difference in the lives of others, to alleviate suffering and bring that good news of God's love in Jesus Christ to others. So the text would ask us, how is compassion stirring in your life today? Who is God placing around you that needs your help, the help only you can provide? So today, we may see that we too are summoned each by name. We are summoned by Jesus to see around us the crowd that is suffering, the sheep without a shepherd, the crowd that is like that plentiful field, groaning and begging to be harvested. We may not feel adequate for the job. We may feel awkward, like we're going to make a mistake and step on the squash as we try to get the green beans, right? But we may not know the first thing about harvesting cucumbers versus tomatoes, but yet still God summons and God promises to equip us and to bring forth and to stir that compassion within us, the depths, as we watch the suffering of those who have become ignorant of God's love for them. Stop a minute and let us look at the harvest that is before us right this very minute. 37 million people hungry in America. 2.2 million people in prison. 133 million Americans living with chronic illness. 59 million living with mental illness. 39, almost 40 million people living in poverty. 27 million unemployed. 60% of our population experiences loneliness and social isolation. You know that loneliness is now considered an epidemic in our country, despite the constant presence of social media at our fingertips. And there are millions more crying out for a more just society. So, my friends, what does this tell us? It tells us this harvest is just waiting to be picked, to be harvested, to be embraced. This harvest is ready, it is abundant, it is ripe. There are people hungering for a word of kindness, a loving word, a hug, for some attention, a cup of cool water. And we are reassured by Jesus and the scriptures that no matter how young or old we are, each one of us is capable. Each one of us can be a laborer in this harvest. We have the tools within us. So we need again to ask ourselves and take the moment and say, how is compassion stirring within me today? How am I being called? How are we being called to respond? So may the Lord of the harvest fill us and bring forth that compassion within us. With great expectation, may we go forth into this abundant harvest that awaits our presence, that awaits us to spread the mercy and love of God to all in need.